Beloved, He loves us. He's calling us for a more intimate relationship with Him. We desire His presence, but He desires our presence much more than we desire His. He desires our presence throughout each and every day, that we would never be in a situation or never be in a way that our thoughts are not totally and completely upon Him, walking with Him. I was in an airport some time ago, and it was so chaotic. Some people running, catch a plane, some walking, just chaos. And I noticed walking down the aisle was a little girl who came up to about the waist of her father. She had her arm around his leg. She didn't have a care in the world. Everybody else was frustrated and driven by pressure and time. And that little girl had her daddy's leg wrapped in her arm. And I thought, oh my, that's a perfect piece of the way I want to be with my Heavenly Father. I want to walk with Him continually with my arm. And when I get in that pressure point, now that's so made it such indelible upon my mind that even now when I get in a situation or I just stop and picture that little girl, but I put myself in her place and all I see is my daddy and my arm around his leg from waist down. And sometimes I can even feel His virtue flowing into me and His peace flowing into me. And it changes our life to come to a place where we can recognize His presence continually, always, throughout the day that becomes so chaotic, so full of pressure and everything else. And it's so hard to keep Him on our thoughts. But if you would also adapt that picture in your mind of just yourself and your arm around your daddy's leg and try to bring that picture to mind throughout the day, every day, it will bring His presence and peace into your life and power into your life in such a way that'll just change your life. It's changing my life. And that's the desire of each and every one of us, to be changed more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that this world might see Jesus. They need to see Jesus, and Jesus has sent us, and He's sending us with authority, and He's sending us with power. And that's what the Lord had put on my heart to try to share with you today, spiritual authority and its relevance, its absolute necessity, its presence in our life as we desire to walk and to please Him. And of course, the Lord God Almighty is the authority. The authority is the Lord. And there's other authorities, but beloved, the authority that we're under is under the Lord God Almighty, under His authority. And therefore, He said, go, and He's given us that authority. There's no greater authority. We're under the greatest authority on earth. That places us above all other authorities. Yes? See what I'm saying? Yes. Now, authority is, according to the dictionary, the right and power to give commands and to enforce them. Jesus did that. Or it's power assigned, given to others, and that's what He wants to give to His church. But first and foremost, we have to be faithful to be able to handle that authority, receive that authority, and not walk in any way in rebellion. Now, a good introduction to this is Luke chapter 7, the centurion servant. And all the verses aren't up there, so I want to turn to it and read some of the previous verses. A certain centurion servant, I'm reading verse 2, who was highly regarded by the centurion, was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come. Sent the Jewish elders? This is a Roman centurion soldier. And the Jews hated the Romans for occupying and ruling over them. And here this man is so different. A centurion, he was friends with some Jewish elders. So already this shows that this man is not arrogant. And even though he's a man in power, he's not demonstrating that power. He's a very humble man. It shows his character. And it's very important for us to recognize that. He sent the Jewish elders asking Jesus to come and save the life of his slave. And when they had come to Jesus, they earnestly entreated him, saying, "He's worthy. He's worthy for you to grant this to him." The Jewish, they're proclaiming him, his testimony. Others are speaking his testimony. That's the way we need to live our life, so that others will speak forth our testimony. "He's worthy for you to do this, for he loves our nation." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, beloved. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. "They that love thee will have great peace." Verse 5, "He loves our nation, and it was he who built for us our synagogue." Oh my. I mean, he's giving away things for other people. He serves other people. He loves. He's a humble man, a giving man. Now, when Jesus started on his way with them, when he was already not far from the house, then the centurion sent friends saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof." This is a very humble man. Other people were begging him, "Come, come, come." And this man sees himself as not even being worthy for him to come in this house. Verse 7, "For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you." I'm not worthy of that. Exceedingly humble. "But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. Come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the multitude that was following, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." Such great faith. Why? Because this centurion knew and understood authority, and he was a man under authority. Therefore, he spoke with great authority. Beloved, this is what the Lord wants for us, to live this kind of a life, like that centurion, humble, humble, giving life, serving others, love the nation of Israel, and speaking with authority. Now, so from this story, we learn our first and very most important truth. You do not have authority unless you are under authority. Yes? And that's something for us to recognize, always recognize. I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means I do what he says and I say what he says. True authority has to be given. Jesus has to give us that authority. If it's only just taken, then it's rebellion. And an example of that rebellion is in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva. Some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the evil spirit answered and said to them, "I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, beloved, now we learn from this, before you attempt spiritual warfare, you must have and be under spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is absolutely necessary for spiritual warfare. And beloved, each and every one of us as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in warfare every day. We're in warfare every day with an enemy that's at the kill, steal, and destroy. And if anything we need to be under that authority and speak with authority and tell him where to go. So we must be sure that we are a people under authority. And a good example of this, they fled out of there naked. Well, Pastor Colley, whom we have worked with in Nepal for 20 years now, encounters demonic, demonic habitation in other people all the time. He walked into one village. He was telling us a story. He walked into one village, and in the middle of that village, a man that was demon-possessed, raving mad, foaming at the mouth, was chained to a pole somewhere in that village. They walked by and saw him. He was naked without any clothes himself. Wouldn't wear them, stripped them off. Now, you know, that's what Satan does. He tries to shame us, to destroy us, to strip us naked of any authority, of any covering, of any clothing whatsoever, and try to embarrass us and all. Well, Pastor Colley went and visited with his mom and dad and found out about him. And with his mom and dad, they fasted several days, went back and cast that demon out of that spirit. And when the people saw the authority of which Pastor Colley spoke in his people, the authority of the Lord God Almighty, the whole village said, "Whoa, he is. The God you serve is the Most High God. He is the authority." And the whole village came to the Lord. I mean, it's right out of the book of Acts. And that's the kind of authority that we all need to live and walk in, beloved. And it's there. Jesus wants it. He wants his church to walk with that kind of authority and power to change this world that we're living in. Acts chapter 8 is another good example of that. And let me turn and read that. You're familiar with the story. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they had believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, there it is, they were being baptized, men and women alike, and even Simon himself believed after he being baptized, and he continued on with Philip as he observed the signs and great miracles. They were under authority, performing with great power. We need to do the same. Taking place, that was he was constantly amazed. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. They came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. And they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money. Now, he's trying to buy that authority. Beloved, you cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. It has to be given. Saying, give this authority to me so as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness. And beloved, again, it just brings out the point. We need the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it cannot be taken. It cannot be purchased. It has to be given to him. So how do we obtain this? How do we obtain this kind of power and authority? Well, Philippians chapter 2, Jesus himself was under authority, and he spoke with power and authority, and he is the example for each one of us how to obtain this kind of power and authority. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 begins with speaking to us. The whole rest of these words are for our benefit. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind. Now, the word let this mind is in the imperative mood. That means it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It is essential. It is necessary. It's absolutely necessary that we think, we have the thoughts and think like we're about to read here of the Lord Jesus being our example. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, though he was God, speaks of his deity, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He gave them up. He gave up his rights. In other words, when Jesus came and walked this earth, he was not walking on here under the power of the Lord God Almighty. He was walking under the authority that his Father gave him, the same authority that we is available to all of us. In other words, we can't look at Jesus and say, oh, he was God. That's why he did that. I'm not God. No, he came as a man, the man Christ Jesus, and he gave up those rights, and he became, and the Lord gave him his authority. But that's just step one. And step number one for us is if we want this kind of authority, we must give up our rights. We must give up our rights. And it's put in us from the very fall that we have rights. I have my rights. How often we say that? I have my rights. I have this and I have a right to that. But we must be willing to give them up, give up our rights of ownership to myself, walking independently. I must give up those rights to the Lord. Verse 46. Well, there's several. There's several verses up there. I guess the next one, number 7, Alicia is up there. Some of these verses speak to that very thing. And Luke 6:46 struck me like a hammer many years ago. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Oh, my goodness. Now, I think the Lord speaks that to me every day. Why do you call me Lord and you're not obeying me? You're not doing what I say. And those other verses, every man doing that what's right in his own eyes in Deuteronomy. And then again in Judges, and those there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Beloved, is there a king in your life? Is there a king in your life? Then you cannot do what is right in your own eyes. We cannot if we want to walk under this kind of authority. We must yield to it. We must give up our rights to the Lord. And wait for him to tell me what to do, how to do it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, step number 2. Step number 1, give up our rights. Step number 2, Jesus made himself nothing. He emptied himself, made himself nothing, and took on the humble position of a bondservant. That's step number 2 for each one of us. You know, made himself nothing. I tell you, the driving force of most people in this world is the seeking of significance. I want to be somebody. I want a position. I want a title. I want to be in this. I want to be in the whatever it is. The search for significance drives us all. I hate to say this. Never mind, I won't. Get myself in trouble, and it probably wasn't of the Lord anyway. He made himself nothing, and he took upon himself the form of a bondservant and appeared in human form. Made himself nothing. Before you can become a servant to other people and wash their feet as Jesus did, we must make ourselves nothing. And when we're nothing, we can serve anybody. When we're nothing, we can love anybody, anyone, when we are nothing. There's no one better than, we would never see ourselves as being better than anyone else. Never, if we are nothing. And that's vitally important to be able to serve the Lord with full authority and power. Step number 2. John 5, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Oh my, if Jesus said that, how much more is that true of you and me? I can do nothing of myself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does also in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. The Father loves the Son and shows him. The Father loves you. And the Father wants more than anything else for you to be in such a position where he can show you the things he wants you to do, the things he has for you, the things he wants to open our eyes to see. He loves us the same. He is no respecter of persons. He loves each and every individual the very same, and he wants to show us. Do we give him time? Do we give him a position? Do we ever seek and say like that? You know, there's John chapter 1, verse 35 speaks to this. You know, John the Baptist baptized so many people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. But John 1, verse 35 says, not there yet. John was walking with two of his disciples, and they wanted, you know, he baptized tons, but only two were with John saying, "Tell me more, tell me more." As we were singing to this morning, worshiping the Lord, all of these songs, seeking the Lord, seeking his face, these two people out of all of the hundreds were wanting to be with the Lord, and they were with John that day. Verse 35, again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked in, and he said, "There he is, the Lamb of God." Beloved, we're all to be making disciples, yes, and that's something we need to do, teaching them and training them until the day comes when we say, "There's the Lamb of God, follow him, follow him." We have a responsibility to be bringing people to that point, and they started following Jesus. They started following John and started following Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said to them, following him, said to him, "What are you seeking?" Now that's a penetrating question. Does the Lord ever ask you that? What are you seeking? You know, your life demonstrates that. I think sometimes when we give ourselves to pursuing all of the things that we enjoy doing and other things, and he just said, "What are you seeking? Have I been with you today? What are you seeking?" Well, they had a very good answer. They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Where do you stay? Because wherever you stay, that's where we want to be. We want to be with you." And he said, "Come." Beloved, if that's your heart, hear the words of the Lord when he says, "What are you seeking?" "Lord, with all my heart, I'm seeking you. My heart is on fire for you." He will say, "Come, and you will see." The Father loves you and wants to show you all things just as he did his disciples. Back to John, that's on the board. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. He wants you to come. He wants you to see. He wants you to be able to be that person in which he can give authority. In John chapter 5, verse 30, again, Jesus said, I can do nothing. He made himself nothing. And I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, not only seeing, but hearing is important. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Seeking, hearing, hearing the will of the Lord. Hearing the will of the Lord. We sang a worship song this morning that reminded me of, remember when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? And it says that there was one, all the disciples were sitting around the table, and there was one that was sitting next to Jesus and leaning upon his, with his head upon his breast. And when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, Peter said to this man, it was John. John, ask him who he's talking about. And there's John. He's closer to Jesus. That, you know, every one of us could be in that same position. He's no respecter of persons. Every one of us need that place of intimacy with the Lord, sitting next to him, as close to him as we can get day by day, closer and closer, where our head is upon our breast and we hear his heartbeat. We hear his words. We're able to ask him things that nobody else knows. And we hear that. We hear the voice of the Lord. Hearing the Lord. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It is the desire to be with Jesus, an intimate relationship, to hear his voice, to please him and to serve him. So that's step number two, making ourselves nothing. Step number one, being giving up my rights. Step number two, making myself nothing and being a servant to everyone. Jesus first and the people that he loves second. And number three, Philippians 2:8. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Step number three, humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. Humbled himself to the point of death. To the point of death. I might humble myself sometime, but to the point of death of my desires, my will, my rights. This is the kind of person that that centurion was. You know, when it says he made himself nothing, that's why his 12 disciples qualified. They were nobodies. They didn't see themselves as being anything. They saw themselves as being low man on the pole. They were just fishermen. Who are they to be disciples for the Son of God? That's who they were. They were nothing. They saw themselves as nothing. And the Lord chose those guys because they saw themselves that way. They were humble people. And they were also willing to follow the Lord. And he knew that he could give them great authority and power. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, right? Anyone wishes to come after me? It's a room full. Do you wish to come after him? Hello? Hello? May I see a show of hands? Hallelujah. Just put fright in this heart of Satan. If anyone must come after me, he must deny himself. Make himself nothing. Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus took up his cross unto death. A horrible, suffering death of crucifixion. But now that cross must become ours. That we must take up our cross. Death to myself. Death to self. Death to self, so that he can give me that authority and power. This is the type of people. So this is just steps 1, 2, 3. You know, and I think this is something that we need to think about. I think we may all should take a 3x5 card. But number one, I must give up my rights. Number two, I must see myself as nothing and be a servant to all. And number three, I must humble myself and be obedient, even if it means standing before a firing squad someday. What would you do when they're saying, are you a Christian? Deny it, become whatever, or we'll kill you. That day may come, beloved, and it is coming from some of our brothers and sisters around the world. It is coming. And you see them suffering, losing their homes, losing their lives, losing their loved ones, losing it all, but they're faithful to the Lord. I tell you, He will exalt them greatly. Verse Philippians 2:9, because of this, because Jesus was obedient unto death, God raised Him up to the heights of heaven and gave Him a name that is above every name. And beloved, when we humble ourselves, as James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and He then will exalt you, lift you up and give you a place. He will make you somebody. He will give you a name. He will give you a position. You don't have to seek it. In fact, it's the way up, it's the way down. He will exalt you in due time. And you will be able to speak that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, when you speak it, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. On earth, every knee will bow. And those under the earth, every knee will bow at that name. And He wants us to walk in that sort of power and authority. And this is the way that it will be given to us. Steps 1, 2, 3. Have you got it? Steps 1, 2, 3. That's my whole mission this morning, is to try to get that for myself and for all of us, to get these steps down. Number one, give up my rights. Number two, see myself as nothing and a servant to everyone. Number three, humble myself, become obedient even to the point of death. No matter what He asks me, no matter what He asks me to do, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how hard, whatever He asks me to do, I will do it. Now, beloved, we cannot walk in that. There's no human flesh that can walk in that other than apart from the power of the grace of God, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in us. But who is in you? The Holy Spirit of God is in each and every one of us. You have the power to do that. It's a matter of your choice. It is a matter of your choice. And beloved, when the church begins to walk in this way, we will change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds me of Luke chapter 10. You know, this authority cannot be taken. It has to be given. And this is the way it can be given, by steps 1, 2, 3. Luke chapter 10. The 70 sent out. The Lord sent out the 70. And He was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. That's sending. He's sending us. It's one thing. He has, sending us is giving the authority to go in that power. Go your ways. I send you as lambs. Carry no purse. Whatever house you enter, peace be to that house. And whatever city you enter. Verse 9, and heal those in it who are sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. The kingdom of God. Beloved, we live in the kingdom of God. We walk in the kingdom of God. And we are to bring that kingdom to other peoples. What is the kingdom? What is a kingdom? A kingdom is that spiritual realm where the King Himself, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, where the King is obeyed, where we're living in authority. If I step out of that kingdom, if I'm disobeying, I'm not in that kingdom. It's kind of like we have one foot in the world and one in the other. We need both feet in the kingdom of God continually. The authority has to be given by higher authority. If it's not given but just taken as the seven sons of Sceva, it is rebellion. And the verse which brought all of this to mind, which David so wonderfully preached on several weeks ago, was Romans 13. Every person must submit to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. Beloved, our obedience begins by obeying the authorities over us. You know, Jesus said you could have no authority, said to Pilate. When Pilate said, I have authority to crucify you and I have authority to free you. And Jesus said, oh, really? You could have no authority over me unless it was given by the Lord God Almighty. But he was the government. And beloved, we're the same way. We need to recognize that the government could have no authority over us because we're under the authority of the Lord God Almighty. but unless it is given by the Lord. And so we need to recognize that we're under authorities and live a life of obedience to the authorities over us, because that's a beginning to living a life in obedience to Jesus Christ. And there's a lot to say about that, and I need to stay away from it, because the law aggravates sin. You notice that? The third truth, to rebel against what he has established or ordained, is to rebel against the Lord. Beloved, there's much more to this, so much more. But if we can really get a hold of steps 1, 2, 3, it will change your life. The Lord is person. He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. That although he existed in the form of God, he did not something to hang on to, and he gave up his rights. He made himself nothing, took upon himself the form of a bondservant. Step number 2. Step number 3. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And therefore God highly exalted him. When you take steps 1, 2, 3, you will experience the exaltation of the Lord God Almighty in your life, because he knows then he can trust you with his authority. He can trust you with his power. You can speak for him, and you can be an ambassador that can go anywhere, and nothing shall by any means touch you or harm you. You can walk in that sort of authority and power for the Lord. These notes are available to you. Why don't you go to that very last one, Alyssa? They're available to you on treasurehisword.com. Second, on teaching notes, second page down at the bottom is the notes on spiritual authority, because there's a lot to it. Give me just one section is the structures of authority ordained by the Lord, the family, the government, the church, the business. And then another one is the four causes of disobedience: stubbornness, rationalism, love, and fear. There's a section on responding to authorities that are over us, because what if somebody in authority over you asks you to do something that the Lord says do not do? How are you going to respond to that? I wanted to cover it, but we don't have time. But it's in the notes, how to respond to those who have authority over you when they ask you to do something that is definitely against. And, of course, Daniel is our example there. And number 7, that's number 37, Alyssa. The 7 steps of action to take when we're asked to do something that we know is wrong. Number 1, check your attitude. Clear your conscience. Discern the basic intentions of what they're asking you or wanting you to do. Come up with creative alternatives to suggest. Appeal to your authority. Give God time to change their mind. And if all of that doesn't take place, be willing to suffer, be obedient unto death. Suffer for not doing what is right. Amen. Amen. Seek the Lord. This is what the Lord is wanting. This is what he's calling us to. To seek first the kingdom of God. And we walk in that kingdom. When we're walking in that kingdom, we'll walk in the power and the authority of that kingdom, of the King, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. We will walk in that power and authority. We need that in our life. The world needs to see that in our life. And it will change us more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And more people will see his love, see his glory manifested upon you, shining through you. When you speak in love, but with authority, and people know, they hear the voice of the Lord, things are changed, and you're an ambassador for him wherever you go. Father, we thank you. Lord, help us understand and begin to get a glimpse of what you want us to be, who you want us to be like, that we would walk this earth as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in so great love that's irresistible, capturing the hearts of people. And that the evil one could in no wise tempt us and in no wise harm us, could no wise touch us, because no one can have authority over us, because we're under the authority of the Lord God Almighty when we're walking in love for him. Hearts motivated by love to seek him, to serve him, that name that is above every name may be lifted high, that he may be exalted higher and higher in this earth. Lord, that is a desire of each and every one of our hearts. That you would be exalted in my life, that I might exalt you before the people everywhere you send me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, please You said your word would not return void. And we each and every one ask you and say, Lord, do not let this word depart from my life until I fulfill it, till you fulfill it in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the wonderful name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.